Well, thank you for your excellent singing. And I know none of you look at the clock to see how long things are going. But you can look right now if you want. It's 11:42, and you know what we have been doing? This is all called a worship service. So we have been worshiping God. Sometimes it's worshiping God by hearing a report from camp. Sometimes it's worshiping God by having a young woman that has grown up in the church speak in front of the church about a burden God has placed on her heart for a women's retreat. Sometimes it is singing some excellent songs of thanksgiving to our Lord. And sometimes it is listening to what God has prepared me to prepare you for your next week. All of this is called a worship service. We don't have distinct parts. It is one whole. We offer it to God. So thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for singing. Well, today we are looking at thankfulness. And I was going to title it Fleas. But I figured when you looked in the bulletin, you would wonder, what in the world is that guy talking about? It's kind of like saying you've been on the psychiatric ward for a year working. So Fleas, I'll get back to that at the very end. We have the teen class with us today, and again, it's great. Most of them are my kids and Jacqueline, so it's good to have you guys. I will keep that in mind. I'll speak to a 10th to 12th grade level instead of what normally I do is 3rd and 4th grade. Sorry, adults. Just kidding. No, not really. Okay, so what we're looking at is a passage that I didn't realize had anything to do with our summer. It was not a vacation. Our summer time away from Alaska. And it has to do with this place, which happened to get snow the other day. And it's a place that my grandfather and grandmother recently moved to. It's just outside of Baltimore, and it's in a rural area. There's a lot of farms around there. And the road is called Old Hundred Road. So me and Amy and the kids got there, and we were like, that's a really weird name for a road, Old Hundred. So they had a number, I think it was like 917 Old Hundred Road. And I just had never heard of that before. So we went to the local church, which you can't see, but there's a small one that's been around for over 100 years. And they said, well, didn't you know that that was a hymn? Old Hundred was a hymn. And it was written back in 1571. In fact, Tim used some of the music that is generally associated with this hymn, Old Hundred. The music is for the doxology. And this is what the... You can kind of read it, but if you can't, the third and fourth lines are the ones specifically that Old Hundred is about. Oh, enter his gates with praise, approach with joy his courts unto, praise, laud, and bless his name always, for it is seemingly so to do. Because the Lord our God is good, his mercy is forever sure, his truth at all times firmly stood and shall from age to age endure. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise him, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Old Hundred comes from Psalm 100. I chose Psalm 100, not out of the blue, but I was studying my devotions. And it has to do with something we looked at for this summer. So to me, it's really neat to see the correlations between what God was kind of starting to show me in the summer and what he has shown me now, and why it has to do with thanksgiving. Before we look at it, let me open us up in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this time you've given to us. Thank you for a microphone that is not popping. Thank you for seats that are soft, a building that is warm, and the ability to go to and from our houses. Our houses. That's a luxury, God. Sometimes we forget what we have. We disregard it, but God, today we want to realize what you have done, your faithfulness, and to show you how thankful we are. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you would, turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 100, and if you don't have a Bible, it's on the internet. If you don't have that, It is in your pew Bibles. And the reason I say that is twofold. I've told you this several times, but you could know that I am speaking what God has written. It's not Ivan's words, because mine don't matter. Secondly is, I didn't put it on the slides, so then you can follow along as we keep going and looking back and forth. Well, let me give you the context of what's going on in this passage. It is all about Thanksgiving. And the very first part of it is called a psalm for giving thanks. And I know that most of you know, but this subscript that is under the thing we have labeled as the chapter, Psalm 100, is actually scripture. God put it in there. It's not written by just a person that was starting to put in their thoughts and ideas. No, this was written by the person that wrote the hymn. This is the only time a psalm was said for giving thanks. So we call it a Thanksgiving psalm. But what it looks like is that back in the old times of the synagogue and the temples and those times, this was actually a song or a hymn they would sing during the Thanksgiving offering. These are the offerings that are given. They were a animal sacrifice and unleavened bread that were given to God in the temple or the tabernacle. And they would sing this song as they were giving this Thanksgiving offering. How it correlates to us for Thanksgiving is they would sing this psalm perhaps as part of entering the courtyards around the temple or as a prelude to a time of declaring what the Lord has done for them. And after that, they would share a communal meal together. Sounds a little like the first Thanksgiving. But one of the ancient rabbis said this continued on and on and on as long as the temple was going. So Psalm 100, sometimes we look at it and say it's just words. But this is ancient Israel's hymnal. So here they were singing the Thanksgiving song to God. I find that's pretty neat. This is the conclusion of what we consider the royal psalms, which is chapter 93, and then 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, all about the kingship of God. And it sums up how God is sovereign and he's ruling, his goodness to people and the responsibility that we have towards him in praising and worshiping him. Well, with that aside, let's read all five verses of Psalm chapter 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness and come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Well, may God bless the reading of his word out loud, where we don't have to cower and worry. Well, if we looked at this passage, a few things should jump out to you. The very first thing is shout for joy. When we come before God, sometimes we do it with our hands clasped firmly in our pockets. Sometimes we do it with our mouth barely opened, singing God's praise. Sometimes we do it joyfully, like the Soweto Gospel Choir here. But what God is asking us to do, or what the psalmist is asking us to do, is to shout for joy. And the interesting thing about this is this word shout is actually the same word that could mean war cry. So if you remember, Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho, and they went around Jericho seven times, and at the end, what did they do? They shouted out, and the walls came tumbling down. Another way of looking at it in our context is shouting for joy. It's holding, not being able to hold in some joyful exclamation. You have to get this joyful bubble out. And so you have, it's just kind of how it is. It's when you have a bucket of popcorn and you're watching your favorite football team, or in my case, soccer, and you jump up, the popcorn goes everywhere. That is a joyful shout. This is what the psalmist is talking about. Then he says to all the earth, and this is unique because, there's a good picture. Notice he doesn't say to Israel. He doesn't say to God's people, shout to the Lord, all God's people. Shout to the Lord, all you Israel. No, he says, shout to the Lord, all the earth. He is including all of God's creation into this thanksgiving psalm. Though much of the world doesn't recognize God or his creation aspect or his love for them, the psalmist says, shout to him. And in fact, at the end of all time, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So there will be a time when there will be shouting of praises by the nations, not just by us or by Israel. So how does all the earth find out about God? Well, it found out about it by Israel being a different or set apart people. They were supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. Does it sound familiar? We're supposed to be in the world and not of the world. But how many of us have a dour disposition? When you look at us, we have a resting grumpy face. A face that when you think thankfulness, maybe that's not you. Is there something we can do about that to be able to cultivate a thankful heart, a thankful spirit, so that the world can look at us and say, wow, what's the difference? And why are you different? Therefore, we can pull them in, and then all the earth can praise God. Well, verse 2, it says, worship the Lord with gladness and come before him with joyful songs. The point of all of this isn't that you have to sing, because there's actually not lots of singers in the world that want to do it in front of others. There's some that only do it in the privacy of their own home. What it means is that when you are filled with thankfulness to God, express it. Many times music speaks on a very deeper level where it's just something you can't hold in. Express that to God. So if you don't sing, you're not a singer. One, that might be a cop-out. I'm not saying it is. But two, if it isn't a cop-out, no big deal. But how can you sing praises to God? How can your life show praise to God if you're doing it differently? And that's okay, because God's built us all differently. And that is a good thing. The goal of God's people is to honor God through our thankfulness to him. Whenever we show thankfulness, we're basically supposed to show Christ to the world. And one of the ways we show Christ to the world is actually through serving others joyfully. Work is a hard thing, but God has called each of us into the positions we have. The vocations that he has given us can be a calling from him. Therefore, if it's a calling from him, we should do it for him. Even serving people is an act of worship because you're doing it for God. We are to serve others and serve him as a form of worship out of a glad heart. God is not a despotic king who forces his people to serve him. Loving service is a grateful response to a grace-filled God. Now, one thing I think we missed, there's actually two times, or this is the first time we're seeing it. Worship the Lord with gladness, come before him with joyful song. That is an invitation to draw near to God. Did you know that in the early times, they had a tabernacle that was built around their camp or inside the middle of their camp? And here they would be able to bring their worship, their joy, but their sacrifices to God. But they couldn't get near to God because his presence was in the holy of holy place. It was in the most holy place. So they got near to him, but they couldn't be near to him. As George said today, God couldn't be with them in their hearts. But here we're told to draw near to God. Now the difference is because when Christ died on the cross for our sins, he sent the Holy Spirit the great helper, to come and live with us. God is not only near us, but God is with us. It's almost like this psalm was a precursor of what was going to happen, that we need to draw near to him, come before him, because he came to us. Well, verse 3 says, "Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." This word "know" actually isn't just I know about the president, or I know about this person that checks us out at Fred Meyer's. I know about the guy who changed my tires last week. That kind of know is very simplistic, but in this case, it means to actually know them well, intimately, and personally. So what the psalmist is saying is, personally know that the Lord Yahweh is God alone. The Lord Yahweh, the Creator God, is the ruler God. He is the only God. And you can know him. So that's now the second time that you're told to draw near, come before him, and now know him. Two times in one Old Testament passage. That's kind of cool. When it talks about it is he who made us and we are his, it's another way of saying that Yahweh, the Creator God, also made us. And we are his people. We're not just his creation, but he has chosen us to be a part of his kingdom, a part of who he wants the world to be. The psalmist uses another way of looking at it and said, we are his sheep, the sheep of his pasture. And I had a good picture of the sheep. This picture is a lot bigger than what the little symbolism shows. A shepherd during those times would spend all day, every day with his sheep. He would know his sheep by name. He would be able to hear, and when they would baa, he would know exactly which one. He would say, okay, Whitey, come on over. Okay, Blackie, come on over. Queenie, I hear you. Just wait a second. He would know them so intimately that he would have understood that. But the shepherd also creates a pasture. In this pasture, he goes through, he walks through, he takes out all the deadly weeds that could get stuck into their nose and work their way up to their brain. He removes all the rocks. He pulls in the stream so that there is a quiet, flowing stream for his sheep to go in. He prepares this well beforehand so that the next year when the sheep come, it is ready for them. He stands at the gate and checks the sheep over for bugs and for other diseases, and as they pass under his rod. And he makes sure they are protected and safe when they come into the pasture he has prepared. So when it says, he is our God, we are his people, it's so much deeper than that. We aren't just his people, his crew. We're actually the ones that he spent all this time and energy and love creating a thing for us. Because he loves us. That kind of leads to thankfulness, but I know it's hard for us sometimes to be thankful. As sheep, they need a shepherd to guide them. As sheep, they need a shepherd to protect them. So the psalmist is saying that God protects, God guides, God prepares, God loves, and he has done that. But he doesn't stop there. In verses 4 and 5, if you have your Bibles again, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. So in this context, what's going on is, this is a picture of the temple. And I'm not sure who wrote this psalm, but if it's David, did you know the temple was not developed yet? It wasn't created until Solomon did it. So if it's David, then what was he envisioning? Was he envisioning the tabernacle, which was set up very similar, where it had an outer court that you could come and worship together, where there was an inner court that started to lead to the most holy place, God's presence himself? Well, in this case, could it mean that it's almost like a kingdom where there's gates you walk through and courts you go before the king. Well, that makes a lot of sense since chapter 95 through 99, we're all about King God and his kingdom. But regardless, the author is saying you come into these gates, you come through these gates with a cheerful heart. The gates are actually open and you walk through them. They aren't closed that you have to bang on it, but they're prepared and open for you. And you come into it with thanksgiving and with praise. So here's the third and the last one. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Now the third time, the author is saying, come near to God. When the Bible says one thing, it's very important. When the Bible says two things, you really got to get it. But if it says it three times, you really, really need to see the point. And here, it's God saying, come near to me, because I have drawn near to you. True worship really begins with the humble awareness of who God is. We can be thankful to God because of his word. We can be thankful to God because of what he has done. But ultimately, it's because God is faithful. That's why this picture is nice, TGIF. Actually, it doesn't mean Friday, but it means thankful God is faithful. We can thank, we can praise, we can shout for joy, we can worship because of verse 5, it tells us here. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. It's kind of hard to be thankful when you don't feel like you have anything to be thankful for. This year and last year was a very challenging year for our church. And for Amy and the kids and me, this year's Thanksgiving is going to look drastically different because basically much of the family that we had as our Thanksgiving, I guess, that tradition is going to be gone. It's going to be totally different. We've already had to deal with kind of the sadness and the heartache most of the week. Days are really long and hard. And it's really easy to not be thankful. So what can we do to actually be thankful? How can we show a thankful spirit? Well, I think you know the lady Corrie ten Boom. She was a Jew that was taken when World War II happened with her family to a concentration camp. And she was in with her sister Betsy. And the concentration camp was called Ravensbrück. They were actually terribly overcrowded, as all were. They had been miraculously able to smuggle in a Bible into the camp. That by itself is quite amazing. And they would read of all things that God said. But specifically, in all things they were to give thanks and that God can use anything for good. So this is how one of my books was saying it. Betsy decided that this meaning was thanking God for the fleas. You got it. Tie in from the beginning. The fleas. How many of you thank God for fleas? Up here, we don't really have them. What a blessing. But down in Florida, I hated the fleas. They were terrible. They get on everything. They get in everything. And you really can't get rid of them even if your pets are flea-free. They're all over. It doesn't matter. They're chomping everything. So normally people don't show thankfulness for fleas. Well, this was too much for Corrie, who said she could do no such thing. But Betsy insisted so. So Corrie gave in and prayed to God. You see, during this time, most of the people were very emaciated. Friends were being taken away left and right, disappearing. And with them, unknown where they've gone. But, you know, in their mind, they could tell that something was happening. They could smell the stenches, they could see the gray smoke. And so for Corrie and Betsy, they knew time was limited for them. And how do you thank God when time is limited? When you know, okay, I only have a certain amount of weeks left. Or let's say your friend is driving his truck down the road and happens to get in an accident and he's dead the next day. We don't know how much time is going to go on. These kind of realities are our reality. So for Corey and Betsy, they started thanking him even for the fleas. So over the next several months, something wonderful and curious happened. They found that the guards never entered the barracks. You see, those times, it was very bad for women. Not only were Jews the worst of society, but the women would be abused by the guards because they thought they were worthless anyway. But here, the guards would never come into the camp. They wouldn't come into their barracks. So they thought, okay, this is kind of strange. It also meant that they were able to do the unthinkable, which was to hold open Bible studies and prayer meetings in the heart of this concentration camp. Through this, countless numbers of women came to faith in Christ. Only at the end did they discover why the guards had left them alone and would not enter their barracks. Can you guess it? Because of the fleas. This is their encouragement. This Thanksgiving, give thanks to God for every good and perfect gift. But also thank him for how he will use all things for good in the lives of those who trust him. In this time of declining home values, rising unemployment, in a time when we're facing physical, emotional challenges, when we see death left and right, there can be little doubt that such a trusting prayer of gratitude will be a challenge for all of us. But when you feel that challenge, and you feel a little itch that you want to scratch, be thankful it's not fleas, but also remember that God uses even something as small as fleas to be able to bring us to thankfulness. Because he has a plan. His plan apparently meant that we have no moms. But I don't get it. Yet I have to trust that God has our best in mind. Amy and I have grown tremendously. The kids have grown tremendously. Therefore, yes, God does something good, even in this stinky, stupid circumstance. And I know that you're all in similar ones, too. Maybe you're a little better off this time, but because life is very cyclical, it'll get hard again. How can you start being thankful? How can you change from the dour disposition into a heart that shows thankfulness to God? Well, one way is to be thankful. Oh, that's easy, right? It's like when your Christian friend says, well, be joyful. Because God tells you to be joyful. Yeah, that's very easy. No, it's terrible and it's hard. So I can tell you what something from science has shown. Sean Aker, a psychologist, and he taught at Harvard, and he studied the mind and how people worked. He thought of something. He suggested that we train our brains to become more grateful. How do you do that? Well, he found that if you set aside 5 minutes a day and practice thankfulness, this can change over time. So there was a one-week study in which people were asked to take 5 minutes a day at the same time every day to write down three things they were thankful for. They didn't have to be big things, so they just had to be concrete and specific, such as, I'm thankful for the delicious Thai takeout, or in my case, pagoda, or I'm thankful that my daughter gave me a hug, I'm always thankful for that, or I'm thankful that my boss complimented me, or I'm thankful that when we slid, we didn't hit anyone. The participants simply expressed thanks for three specific things at the same time every day. At the end of 1 month, the researchers followed up and found that those who practiced gratitude, including the ones who stopped after that week, were happier and less depressed. Remarkably, after 3 months, the participants who had been part of the one-week experiment were still more joyful and content. Incredibly, after the six-month mark, they were still happier, less anxious, and less depressed. The researchers hypothesized that the simple practice of writing down three Thanksgivings a day over the course of a week, prime the participants' mind to search for the good in their lives. I kind of like how they said it. The simple practice of writing down three Thanksgivings a day. Normally we say Thursday is our Thanksgiving day. But I wonder if we can say, okay, today, God, how can I show my gratitude for you? Bring to mind three things. One, you did provide us some food. Two, I know I have a bed to sleep in, and I really appreciate it. And three, I'm glad I have a car to be able to drive. We forget these things. When I was over in Namibia, the luxuries that they have would way pale in comparison to even the minute luxuries that we have. They have to scrape by, and yet they find joy in the little things. And here, we have a hard time finding thankfulness in the big things we have. Every one of you has clothes on. That is great. I bet you all have winter clothes. That is amazing too. And then, let's see, I think you all have shoes on. So I gave you your three for the day already. But could you add to that? What if you try saying, God, help me just for this next 1 week, this Thanksgiving's week, to write down three Thanksgivings I have for you each day and see what God does. I can't say I'm perfect, but I did try to do it a few days ago, and it's like, I guess I should have done that earlier. Because sometimes, you know, you get into your mind, and then it keeps perpetuating, and it gets lower and lower and lower to where you think, what is there? But the reality is there's a lot there. And the Holy Spirit, God coming near to you as you came near to him, living inside you, can guide you to the great thankfulness you can have for him. You can be thankful even when you don't want to be thankful, because of the very last line, his love endures forever, and his faithfulness continues through all generations. It's pretty good. God three times said, draw near. You have the ability to be so near to God that he is with you. And he has promised he would never leave you. He's promised he has a plan for you. Those are three more thankful things to be thankful for. So what does God have for you as you go into this next week? Well, let me pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for the kids being able to have Sunday school downstairs. Thank you for the cars that brought us here. And God, as we leave this place, God, I ask you to bring to mind more things that we see your faithfulness, because you've been faithful, and sometimes in our minds and hearts, we don't see that. Thank you for sticking with us as we've been stubborn, as we've been missing the point. You've loved us all along. Thank you for this passage, this old hundred that shows us so mightily that we praise you, even if we don't feel it, because of your faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for coming today for our Thanksgiving week worship service. I was wondering if you could stand, and I would like to leave you with another passage that I greatly enjoyed from Thanksgiving. This is from Psalm 95, verses 1 through 7. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout the war cry, whoop, aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands form the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For he is our God, who drew near to us so we could draw near to him. And we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his amazingly loving care, even when we don't see it. As you leave today, may God bring to mind things that you are thankful for and tell him. I would actually encourage you to write it down, because that might even help you even more, so you can go back. When Satan says, you have nothing, you can look back and say, I do. Well, thanks again for coming. I'll see you next week when you're dismissed.